Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to a Christmas National Obsession, John.
Could you not tell?
It's Christmas, isn't it? Listen to that.
Bells.
Oh, lovely bells there.
A little bit of everything going on
jingle
there.
Jingle bells. Is it even a Christmas episode if those jingle bells don't exist?
It probably is, isn't
Where
it?
Where do you even buy jingle bells, John?
No, it's a good question. You probably haven't, not since sort of middle school, has anyone actually used some jingle bells?
Maybe they still all just exist in school.
In school.
Glockenspiels, yep. And jingle bells.
Chime
and
bar.
Wood blocks.
You'll never use a chime bar ever again. Rain stick.
Oh, rain stick. That's a lovely one.
Yeah, there you
that
go.
That was a good impression.
Is it a good
you
impression?
You could add that to your... Oh, no. It was less good.
No.
It was like a half angry cat.
It was just a fleeting impression. It was there and then it was gone.
Yes. Well, John, we're in the same room. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. What a
Christmas
tree.
2 metres apart, of course.
2 metres, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
We don't want to be giving people ideas that we're... But we've been working together today, haven't we, John?
So we have.
Very, very nice to see you.
Yeah, lovely to see you too.
It's on the ice to you?
On the ice. I can't think when the last time I actually saw you was.
Oh, well. By the river, I think.
Yes, that's
in
true.
The fishing episode.
About August, yeah.
Was it August, was it?
Blimey.
I've not fished in a while, John.
No.
Just a little fishing update. It got too cold.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Got too cold.
That's
too
very
cold.
Much fair enough.
And the National Obsession, John, it's been I've loved this season so far.
Hasn't it been fun?
A lot of fun. I mean, I've not seen you, so it's been less fun. And normally we do this episode drunk in a pub, which, again not allowed to do.
Not happening this year.
Not even like drunk in this studio. We're in the Times Radio studio.
We are.
John.
I feel like we shouldn't be here.
John Pienaar
I mean? John
is
Pienaar
in the studio.
Over the rings.
Does John Pienaar like National League football, John?
I think he's a Crystal Palace fan.
So give it time.
Give it
hey,
yeah.
What a lovely football
go.
Joke.
Yeah, they're broadcasting serious news here about the COVID, Brexit. Lorries on the M20.
Well, we are broadcasting serious news about John Pemberton's mink farm, for instance.
And Dover is obviously in the National League. Oh,
exactly, John. So we could be like live from the Crabble.
Yeah. Maybe they're parked up on the pitch.
Is it the Crabble?
Yes.
I went in at Crabble.
No,
like I've done 3 years of National League podcasts. Like I should know that sort of thing off the bat.
And yeah.
It was true, John.
And it was fine.
On that note, my sister-in-law has emailed. She's not a foff because obviously she's...
It's an early letter.
She is... Because last time you were saying it was episode 1, 2, 3, and then we went through a bunch of Fiats, didn't we? Fiat 1, 2, 4, well,
yeah,
5, 1, 6,
2, 5,
7,
yeah, yeah.
8, 1, 3, 1, Mira Fiori. And you said, will we ever get to the Fiat 500? And she has worked out, John, how long it will take us to get to 500 episodes. And if we are still doing it, I probably will not be interested in the National League anymore then. Based on an average 35 podcasts a year, you'll reach 500 episodes in 10.77 years.
If we are still in the National League, that's sort of coming up for Wrexham, Wrexham period, isn't it?
In
the National League. I'll be just turning 40.
On the ice, she says. On the ice, she says. Just that, wouldn't that be lovely, John, for your 40th birthday?
Yeah.
Just doing the 500th episode. Who will we be meeting
still
then?
Still not earned a penny from this podcast.
Aaron Downs be manager then. What's coming up, John? What's coming up
out,
in the... I've forgotten how
up?
We do it when we're
this
in the same room.
This is how we do it when we're in the same
room. We used to have the dog walk in and out and my son slamming the door and that sort of thing.
Well, let's work out what is coming up on this week's podcast.
Lovely. Very slick.
Very slick. Well, it's the Christmas special.
Which is, in many ways, what my wife calls a horrible lovely, which... Which is bittersweet or like you know, like a rose sweet, John.
Sweet and sour.
You know those perfumed sweets? Some people like them, some people don't like them.
Yeah.
And it's like not a sweet at all. And why is that, John? What's coming up in today's show?
Well, what's coming up in today's show is no news whatsoever.
No news.
FA Trophy last weekend.
No platformed.
No platformed. I can probably tell you what happened.
Go
but
on.
Who cares?
Now, we've got Yeovil or Boreham Wood.
Talkie one.
They didn't even need to do the draw.
Yeah, we knew you'd get Boreham Wood. Boreham Wood are always in there. Probably go out in the next round.
Yeah.
No problem.
Who cares?
Sack it off. Some other stuff happened, I'm sure. Maybe.
Jeez,
don't
you really hate that trophy, John.
So I've done no work
on that. What if we win it?
Whatsoever.
What if we win in the league? What if Torquay United are winning
the
have won the league by March, April, and it's like all we've got to go for is the trophy as well, and it's the final is versus Ebbsfleet.
Well, look, maybe we can ask this to our special guest this week.
Let's not say who it is,
John. Let's not say who it is, but as always...
Huge special guest.
It's a Christmas special, so you have people dropping in all the time, knocking on the door, coming in, come and join the party.
Like Noel's house party.
I've got a doorbell ready. Oh. So we have got a special guest dropping in because it's a Christmas special, so we'll get a knock on the door. Doorbell will go in a little bit later. I think Santa Claus is coming to town.
I don't think it's Santa Claus, John. You seem to be wanting to set this up as Santa Claus turning up. It's a very big guest, John. We're very excited.
It's a Christmas special. Got to have Santa Claus.
Okay, go on then, yeah. Fine.
And, of course, in Christmas style, you hear from people all around the world, letters, cards.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of British Forces Network radio show. We hear from our boys out on the front. So basically what I'm trying to say is we got some letters and letters from a listener.
Some letters and a listener, a nice big guest. I think we're going to hear from something else that we do now and again, and no news. That doesn't sound like there's much in the podcast, John, for a Christmas special.
There will be plenty in the podcast. Do you want to? I mean, I was working on a little bit of have a blue and yellow.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
Christmas.
Not that it's a talky podcast.
No, that's
John.
You could have said blue and yellow.
You could have said blue podcast. Blue Christmas.
Yeah.
This isn't Elvis, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Is this Elvis?
Yeah.
Who's the one that sounds like Elvis and isn't Elvis?
I always think the Mud Lonely This Christmas sounds like it. It's supposed to be a bit of Elvis.
What's your favourite, John? Have we covered this before? What's your favourite?
In my preparation for this Christmas special, I went back and listened to some of the other ones.
Okay.
Quite good, actually.
Mm.
Set the standard quite high.
Oh.
We talked about this last year. The answer is Driving Home for
Christmas.
Has
it changed?
No. It's still
Mine's
Driving Home for Christmas.
Has
it? Okay.
It's a different year, John.
Yeah.
Driving Home for Christmas is a perennial favourite,
yeah.
And I do absolutely love it, and it will be that again next year. My favourite this year is I Said There'd Be Peace at Christmas.
Oh, Greg
that
Lake.
One, Greg Lake.
Oh, I hate that.
Why?
I hate it. It's horrible.
Oh, John.
Oh, it's rubbish.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know.
Do you not like listen to the trumpet right at the end of it.
Okay. Brrr. Oh, no, when it goes into
when
a troika.
When it goes super high. A troika, John? Go on.
That's the name. That's the classical piece.
That's called a troika, is it?
It's not called a troika. It's just called troika.
That's called troika, is it?
Yeah.
And what does troika mean, John? Do you know?
This is the name of the music.
Now Googling it.
So I'm going to look it up.
You gave some knowledge. As always, you gave some knowledge. And then when pressed.
But not a lot.
Pressed on the knowledge. And that is it.
A troika is a traditional Russian folk dance.
There we go. So they must have danced to that.
Yeah.
Do you know my favourite programme of the last few years? I don't know if they'll show it again this year, but it's absolutely lovely. It's part of that slow telly they do on BBC4.
Oh, yes.
And it's a sleigh ride, John.
I saw that
in
last
Norway.
Year. I didn't stick with it for long.
You have to,
nice,
give in to it, John. It's mindfulness. It's a bit like watching the Gary Hours team. You just have to give in to it.
Just go with, yeah.
Just
okay, no,
slow
no, that's fair
telly.
Enough.
Just have to get and feel nice and cosy. I was thinking, you know, all these truck drivers stuck on the M20, John.
Yeah.
Quite fancy that life.
Really? Doesn't sound like a great life.
You know what I think? Just stuck in your cab there, you've rigged up a nice kettle and maybe a little George Foreman grill to your cigarette lighter.
Do they work with cigarette lighter?
Yeah, and you've got a little Wi-Fi dongle so you can watch a nice film.
Rain, sort of like camping.
Splattering on your windscreen. There's some French bloke behind you, Zoutelor, giving it Ouais la bibliothèque behind you. And you're sitting there, perhaps a nice programme on the radio or a match, reading that book. You're in your cab, John. You're stuck on the M20. There's no way you can go. You just have to give in to it.
No.
It's not for you,
no. To be honest, no.
It's the life I've been dreaming of.
My friend Greg Lake for you, though.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful, isn't it? Nice.
This bit's, I don't know.
You don't like it, do you? I can tell.
I don't, it's just something about it.
It's the end. Go right to the end.
Okay, but I'll
skip. The very high trumpet at the end sounds like someone is having a laugh.
Now, this is Troika.
You can hear him going up now.
Yeah, I know.
And again, click it on.
Now, this is it. Timpani.
Here he goes. Now. And again.
But that whole song.
And then the man's head. Just,
I mean, do you want the other talk? Just finally on Christmas songs. Do you want the other Talking United one? I've been working on.
I mean,
I've
the other it, one wasn't much work.
I've given it about 10 seconds thought, of course. So. It was only Ben Winters' tale.
Oh, lovely. He's in my.
Just another Ben Winters' tale.
He's in my ballpark of impressions.
David
on the worldwide scale, it's just another winter's tale. It's good, John.
I don't really know enough about David Essex to
just
tell you.
Just enough for you and me.
I'm sure the David Essex fans are
loving it.
Really enjoying that.
A proper gypsy, I think.
John. He is, isn't he?
Proper gypsy. Proper old Romany blood. Maybe that's the gypsy side of me, John. Am I absolutely
gypsy?
I can't remember.
No, I think you can. I think, but you obviously sympathise with the gypsy community.
Gypsy sympathiser. A gypsy synthesiser. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Just like old bell sounds.
Well, look, let's crack on with things.
What are we cracking on with?
Our special guest is waiting.
It didn't seem to be a lot. Is he waiting, is he?
I think before we get to our special guest, we better go to a commercial break.
Oh, yes, let's do that.
The National Obsession.
Do you like mink? Do you think you like mink? Well, why not this Christmas use John Pemberton's Mink Farm? John Pemberton's Mink Farm for all your minky needs. Fur. Meat. Claws. Teeth. All mink-based and all available at John Pemberton's Mink Farm. Dead. Or alive. Alive animals may also be dead. John Pemberton's Mink Farm. You will not own the mink.
The National Obsession.
There we are. It's good we've got sponsorship, John.
It's very nice we've got sponsorship. I'm glad he's still going with the mink farm because I'd heard he just invested heavily in Dover to Calais. Dover to Calais freight route.
Put some money into a small ferry, hadn't he?
Yeah. Pemberton's road haulage business.
Just having a lot of luck.
Let's hope 2021 brings him a bit more luck.
I can't wait for him to get another job. It's going to be absolutely brilliant, isn't it? It's going to be brilliant. Good luck, John Pemberton. I hope he has a lovely Christmas. Now, this is the National Obsession. Pretty excited, John, are you?
Really excited.
Someone's coming to town.
I think we've been
on the good list. It's not Jeff Brazier.
No.
We've been on the good list because we've got the chance to speak to this next man. We're not a talkie podcast, John.
It's not, but at the door.
No, John, we don't need to do any of this.
It's a special guest.
No, John,
coming
we don't need to.
From outside, it's Gary Johnson.
Hello, Johnny, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. John's here as well.
Hello, Gary, how are you, mate?
John, I'm fine, thank you.
Good stuff.
Thanks for joining us on the National Obsession. We say at this point, on the ice. I don't know if you want to say on the ice, Gary. It's up to you.
On the ice.
There he is, Gary. Dreams come true. We can end the podcast right there. How have you been, Gary? How's your year been? Because what a year for everybody, but especially when you're trying to get behind a football club and drag a football club up the league. And I know you seem to work as a man with players and with the teams on momentum and trying to get that momentum going in an empty stadium. It must have been so difficult.
Yeah, it has been difficult. I mean, it's been a sort of a year of making decisions and hoping it's the right decision, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because everything seems to be like it's everything's easy in hindsight, and we could have done that, and we should have done this, and should have done that. But you know, it's not only in our workplace; it's our families, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do we go and visit your mum, my mum, my dad? You know, like we've had these decisions to make, and I think you know, you go through and you take each decision as it comes round, and you know, we've done all right, and you have to just assess the situation each time, because people don't really know what goes on during the week. No. And little injuries, and somebody's, you know, got a problem, and somebody else has got another problem, or whatever it is, and you're just dealing with things all the time. And I think, you know, it's been a real year for trying to make the right decisions.
Yeah, and obviously you try and control the controllables in that situation.
Yeah.
And one thing you seem to have done this year, slightly different to last season, is signed players who you've worked with before and that you trust. And I think you as a man trust the players as men to do their job.
Yeah.
And if you've worked with them before, you know that they do that.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, it's, you got to have a trust. I mean, no, you don't win a league or be successful with people that you don't trust.
Mm.
You know, so I make a big thing about that. We talk about teammates, you know, you can trust, and we talk about the red arrows, how the one in the front has to pick the two behind him, and then they have to pick the four behind them, or however many it is, you know. So we make a big thing of that, and we don't want anybody. And it's been sort of, you know, real poignant, really, the fact that we're in this pandemic, and we got to trust that they're not going out on rave parties and going to visit people they shouldn't, you know. So we work really hard in talking to them about the law and about the. I mean, our club's been brilliant, really, for trying to keep people safe and keeping us informed as what we can and can't do. And touch wood, you know, we've managed to get a sufficient number of games in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we haven't had a problem as far as that's concerned. Just
yet. Having the run of games, yeah.
It's really paid off, hasn't
it?
Yeah, because other clubs have had those outbreaks, and we've thankfully stayed free of it. I was going to ask as well, if you... I sort of had to be there for the players this year as well, because obviously you're dealing with a group of young men. It's been a really tough year for everybody, and I guess, you know, them as much as anybody, they're a long way from home, and you've got to be there for them.
Yeah, you're right. Some of them are a long way from home, and, you know, some of their parents were in Tier 3, and even girlfriends, you know, where they sort of are in a rented place in Torquay, but their home is in Bradford or something. You know, we've got a few northern lads, and we try and allow them to go home in normal times, whenever they need to, you know, when they get the opportunity. But this year, there's hardly been an opportunity. And there were parents coming down to the game on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
But they can't now because some of them parents are in Tier 4. So the boys can't go back to see them, and they can't come down and see them. So, yeah, it's difficult, but we're asking them to just be professional, think about your football, think about where we are. We're top of the league at Christmas, even though at Christmas time it's normally 25 games. We just got to be professional, keep it going, and hopefully we can reap the rewards and have big parties when we're promoted.
Yeah, just on that pastoral care note, that seems to be a big part of your management style, is you are trying to teach these, because you know you know that you're not working with the top players, you're working with really good players that you've seen something in. We interviewed the other week Ben Whitfield, who is, I think, a brilliant case in point, and the fact that he's had knockbacks at a couple of other places and been told no, and yet he's never given up, and you've obviously seen something in him that you've been able to expand on and give him the strength to express himself on a football pitch, which is obviously there inside him, and that seems to be down to the care that you give him, which gives them confidence to play like that.
Yeah, you're right, the care and the trust, and they got to be able to trust you enough But when you're in their face at half time,
yeah.
as I always say, as long as they're sitting down, I'm in their face. if they're standing, oh,
maybe
do.
Not. Maybe not Ben Whitfield.
No, maybe not Ben. You're right.
or Aaron. Actually, you were only shining short players here, Gary. What's that?
Well, there you go. See, that's clever. That's clever. I feel a lot bigger and stronger when I've got little people around. but with Ben. What I look at when I look at players is what's their best game? What game can they give me that fits in to my tactics and my philosophy? Have they got that? Yes. Are they consistent? Probably not, because if it's a game that I want, then they're probably a league or two higher than that. But the thing is then, is just to get the mentality out and to get them thinking in the right way. You know, we talk about teacup, you know, we say teacup, which is thinking correctly under pressure. We talk to them about, you know, do you remember how you used to feel when you were the best player in the playground?
Yeah.
We just can't be the best player in this, you know, National League playground sort of thing. And we just try, there's a lot of psychological things that we do with them, because the idea is if you've got a group of lads that you know are actually trying and giving you everything, do you know what I mean? Then you've just then got a little poke them every now and again to get them going. Whereas there's some, you know, can't be motivated. I always say that, you know, get players that can be motivated, otherwise you're in trouble. People used to say to me about my son who played for me, and we had, you know, if we hadn't have been so successful, it would have been nepotism. fortunately, it went okay, and we did get a few promotions. And they used to say, "How do you treat your son any differently?" And I would come back and say, "Listen, I treat them all like my sons."
Yeah.
And that is really, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, when they're little and they run out into the road nearly, and you pull them back, you give them a little smack. But you still love them, you know what I mean? And I think that's the group that you want playing for you.
And is that, Gary, that's basically great leadership, you know? Is that learnt, or is that something you've read about and you've put that into play, or is that just through your massive experience?
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's experience, of course. And what you can't, it's getting those first few promotions as a manager, so that when you're talking to these lads, you're saying, "I know how it's done.
Mm.
I know what I need in the dressing room to get you promoted. And I want, you know, people around you that you get on with, that sort of thing. Now, if you go below your standards or you lose concentration and be less professional, I'm going to jump on you.
Yeah.
But you'll know I'm doing it because I'm trying to help you." And I think as you get older as a manager, I'm not going to, you know, sign up with Man United tomorrow, do you know what I mean, as a manager. So they realise, actually, you're doing quite a lot for them.
Yeah.
To go back to the pandemic a bit, you're exactly the same age as my parents, and I've certainly been worrying about them a lot this year and trying to make sure they've been safe and keeping themselves safe. So have your family been sort of worried about you? I think I'd certainly be worried about my dad if he'd be on touch lines and at sort of training sessions and all sorts of things like that.
And I know, coach journeys. But again, you know, he's younger than me, but the person who's looking after our club is our CEO, which is George Edwards, and he's just done unbelievable, and you know, he's worked so hard to keep the supporters safe, make sure the stadium's safe, make sure the dressing rooms are clean, both at the training ground and you know, at Playmore. And just so that we know the rules, so that we're at least playing the percentages in a good way, you know. And we do, they do explain to us, and then I explain to them. So, what else can you do? You know what I mean? Mm. You can't either way. But I think because we're playing the percentages, we got to be unlucky if we end up unlucky.
Yeah, we think they should probably just call the league now, Gary. Just call it now.
well, it's funny. Funny you should say that, because I keep saying to them, look, we're at the top there. We've got enough points per game.
Yeah.
We've got enough goals per game. we got enough goals against per game. Yeah. So any way they wanted to do it.
Just keep
no
going.
No one's catching us, I don't think. That's it.
Well. No, that's right at the moment.
Not at the moment, no, no. Just I don't know how to phrase this. I don't know if it's just something I've picked up on. It's a very specific question. It's about Josh Emerah, who I think is a fantastic, fantastic footballer. I think there's an unconscious bias against him because he's so strong that when he comes on, he seems to draw a lot of fouls, even when it's him that gets fouled, which Danny Wright doesn't draw as much. Does that come into your thinking when you play people?
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, you want your striker to sometimes be fighting somebody, you know, like competing with them, let's say, because, you know, you want him to take a centre-half and be right behind when he sets somebody else who's in space. But sometimes, and this is where Josh has still got to learn, Danny's a lot more experienced, and certainly he's been with me, you know, during a promotion at Cheltenham. So he knows a lot more about me than Josh does. So Josh is still learning. The thing with Josh is he's always fighting, and he's always got somebody on him, and we're just trying to get him to lose people and sometimes be free. He's going to be a really good player because he's got all the tools, but he's just never been worked with. And again, it's not his ability. It's just him thinking correctly under pressure. So instead of being up alongside a centre-back, he can come off him sometimes and get a touch and a good shot because he's a good finisher.
Yeah.
So we're just getting him into a new habit, if you like. And when he does, he's going to be perfect.
And the last question I'm going to ask you is, how many players are we going to get on loan from Sunderland?
well, they've not been training this week, so because of the COVID that they had, but they haven't got games. Listen, Lee's an acquaintance and a friend in the game.
It was a cheeky question, Gary. I don't expect you to answer it.
No, and I know, but I'm going to answer it because, of course, Lee knows what I need exactly. So he's not going to send me down some foul-mouthed, horrible person.
Yeah.
That can't play. He knows what I need, and obviously, as a lot of managers do, they know that I'll improve their player.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if it's a young player and that with potential. Mm. So he'll look at it. But at the moment, Lee hasn't seen much of his under 23s.
No, sure.
You know, he's only been there a week and a bit.
Yeah.
So we're having a look. My brother, my chief scout, is having a good look as to.
They'll be coming in for Connor and Ben next. You'll be having to keep your hands on them.
Well, there you go. I'll have to play with Dad then when I if any of them off me, he'd be on the naughty step for a little while.
On the naughty list. No. Now, Gary, it's so brilliant to speak to you as always. And we just can't thank you enough for everything you've done for the Talk United Football Club. The highest honour. We've never given one out before on this podcast, but the friends of this podcast are called FOFs, which is Friend of the Family, and they are all numbered. And we'd like, John and I would like to offer you the chance to be the very first ever Golden Foff.
That would be you,
is that Gary.
The gold blue Peter badge?
Will you accept the Golden Foff, Gary?
Absolutely. I've gone all tingly.
We can't wait to see you in real life. It'd be
fantastic.
I did see you at Sholing when I wasn't meant to be there, and that was a highlight of my year. It really was when you caught sight of me and gave me a little fist bump. That was lovely. Thank you very much.
I was looking for a steward to point you out.
Oh. Well, happy Christmas to you and your family, Gary. And stay safe, mate.
Cheers, boys.
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession, and it's time for Letters from a Listener. That's lovely, John.
A little bit rusty. A little bit rusty. On the old
try again. Here we go. When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener? And when we did that in that studio, a yellow sort of flashing sign came up with people with their fingers in their ears. But there we are, John.
What it was?
Any letters, John? Any Christmas? Any Christmas letters?
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Absolutely. Mark Ridley, Newton and Ridley gets
Newton.
In touch. Hello, Newton. He says, hi, John and John.
What FOF number is Mark?
I'm going to have to get the MacBook out now. Oh, here we go. John. Do you want me to tell you? I mean, I know you...
Someone's doing all right.
Oh, flipping heck.
if when Foffs get in touch, they could put their Foff number on it.
Really helpful.
Because John gets ever so annoyed at this bit. It's really spoiling Christmas for him.
I mean, it was already spoilt quite substantially.
Nope, not got it, no, John. Numbers. Can't open your spreadsheet. Excel. Is he a Foff?
File open recent Foff database. Here we go.
Here we go. Slick this bit, John.
Really slick.
Please, Gary didn't hear this bit.
This will cut down the edit. 33.
Foff 33. Newton and Ridley.
Hello, Mark. He says, I was sorry to hear about John's cycling accident. But I was wondering.
Nearly died, didn't you, John?
Nearly died. Has he been inundated by calls from ambulance chasing lawyers? Because the question that they first asked could be adopted into a NatOps feature. Have you been involved in supporting a football club that wasn't your fault?
Oh, that's nice. Oh, lovely.
I mean, living and being brought up in Aldershot is bad enough, but having to support them would surely be a step too far.
You can always bail out, you know. You can always come and watch the gulls. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely true.
That would be good if we get on this podcast. We're not a talkie podcast. If we can tempt someone away from their boring club.
This is good.
You know, because a lot That'd of the talkie fans are getting old, John.
Won't
last forever.
It says, on last week's show, you discussed the legend of broadcasting, John Noakes.
Ah, yes.
You also presented a programme
called With Noakes.
Go With Noakes.
Yes.
On one episode, he was stood outside Old Trafford when a large cheer went up. There was no game on and the noise had been mocked up. He then uttered the immortal words, I expect Halifax Town have scored again.
That's a nice joke, isn't it?
Bit of National
lovely,
League.
Lovely joke.
National
Halifax
League content.
Oh, lovely, isn't it? John Noakes. Go With Noakes. Go With Noakes to the National League.
Noakes.
Come on, Shep. He'd have been on this. We'd have had him on this, John.
Thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Newton, happy Christmas to you.
A new correspondent gets in touch.
Lovely.
Always an exciting moment.
Yes.
Bob Cotgrove.
On the ice to you, Bob.
On the ice, Bob.
On the ice,
he says,
Bob.
Hello, gents. In the last podcast, you were talking about going to away ends to support the opposition against our local rivals.
Yes.
This is Andy Charles who did
I've
that.
Done this, yeah. I've done that
at
a few
Exeter.
Times.
I mean, this is very hyper-local. Okay. Being Totnes boys.
Yes.
Half our mates are Torquay fans and the other half are Argyle. To be fair, they mostly came from the Dartington side of town. This is too niche.
No, it's not niche, John.
Too niche.
It's what people want. Did they go on a snail's coach?
Crystal, isn't it? Glass. Dartington Glass Centre.
Yeah. Dartington Glass.
As a youngster back in the late 60s, when Torquay were away, we used to go to Home Park, or he's called it Gnome Park.
Oh, lovely. Here, like Sid James Park, yeah.
And stand in the away end and cheer on whoever had come to town. We were once on Match Today celebrating his whole city. Scored their fourth goal of the day.
They love the Tigers.
The
yes.
With a commentator saying, actually, we'd enjoyed a long journey home. Little did he realise we were only getting the bus back at the 8:38 to
Snells. Back on the Snells to Totnes.
Lovely. I'm not sure that quite surpasses being in the away end with my two sons at Bath City in 1996, along with hundreds more in blue and yellow, cheering on Stevenage Borough to the championship of the conference.
Lovely.
That
That's great.
We knew their ground was not good enough for them to be promoted into the league, which meant the hapless girls who were bottom of the Football League were not relegated. We cheered the Borough to victory, much to the puzzlement of their players, who I don't think they've ever had that much support before.
I did that once. Northampton v Barnet. You remember, we needed Barnet to lose for us to stay up.
Yeah.
I went to that.
Went to that. Cheered them on.
Went to Northampton. Went to the Cobblers.
Didn't work, did it?
Didn't work. No, it didn't work. It was a real shame.
Well, look, Bob Cotgrove, starts his journey towards a Foff number.
And I'll tell you what, very niche.
Lovely.
I mean, it wasn't just about Torquay United, John, so you can't say it was a Torquay United letter.
Absolutely
had
not.
Some Totnes in it as well.
Bit
so
of Totnes.
Wipe the get the joss stick off it, John, and it'll be
your
lovely.
Dream catches out.
Get your Totnes pound. Vaccinate your children and off we go.
James Thorndike gets in touch. Now, this is
big news. Just remember, that's one letter from Bob.
One letter from Bob.
So next time you send us a letter, John, just number it 2. And then if you send us a third, number it 3. Foff number.
Foff. That's what we've been doing all along, isn't it? I think.
Well, I'm just saying. James Thorndike.
James Thorndike says, Merry Christmas, gentlemen, and on the ice,
as is
normal.
James.
I sat listening to the excellent National Obsession on Saturday with the family.
Went love
to
the show, Steve.
Great surprise.
Woo! Factoids.
The old woman. He says, I was sat listening to the excellent National Obsession on Saturday with the family when, to my great surprise, the call went out to make sure that Foff 40 was still alive and well. Do you remember this?
Good, yes.
My children were delighted to hear my name, and so I'm responding to say that I'm still here and very much an avid listener.
Ah, good.
Love
Felice
it.
Navid
Felice
listener.
He says, I have, however, recently experienced a worrying episode that has questioned my parenting skills.
Which episode was it? The Cheltenham episode? Or?
He says, my son Thomas, 8, who last sold the goals in that Dower 0-0 at Dagenham away nearly a year ago.
We went to that.
Awful. Has recently started taking a shine to Wolverhampton Wanderers, or the Wolves, as he likes to call them. This is a disturbing turn of events, given the football education that I've been putting him through the Torquay streams this season. It seems that Kings Lynn may have more to answer for than I initially thought. Tips, please?
Yeah, show him. Go on YouTube and show him the semi-final of the Sherpa Van Trophy in 1988, I'm going to say. Nine?
Nine sounds right.
Yeah, Cyril Knowles, anyway. Wolves beat us in the first leg. We beat them in the second leg. Between the first and the second leg, they booked their Wembley accommodation. You don't want to support Wolves. Wolves are on the way down anyway. There's no way to run them. You can't run a football club by owning the players and then selling the players on. So they're no good.
Well, thanks for your email, James.
Yeah, James, on the ice to you. Thanks for
Happy Christmas.
And also the Thorndike family there, John, getting involved. If they'd like to send us a letter to the kids.
You know what I always think of when I hear his
name? Not that Wolves, but he can't send us one.
8 years old. 8 years
Happy
old.
Christmas.
He was only 8 years old.
He was only eight years old. Come on, we got your bloody Christmas story.
Oh, Christ. Not that you're not looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have to go in a minute, actually. So.
Okay. And finally, David Gladys Gladman, newly appointed FOF, says, good evening, Charlie and John. North of the Wall, the newly appointed FOF 39 here. Firstly, is it wrong for me to be teaching my granddaughter Sophie, who is 2 in January, the correct words to Jingle Bells? That being, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to sing when Torquay win away.
Yeah, lovely.
She's been heard to sing this at her childminders, much to the bemusement of her host.
No, it's you're absolutely right
totally
to teach
correct.
Those words. I once sang "Shitting on the City as We Go." Was walking along, singing a song. Shitting on the City. I once sang that accidentally in the car. And I've been teaching my 5-year-old to sing "Last Christmas," but with "I Gave It to Gary Johnson," which is, of course, the words.
Gladys also says, secondly, 4 years ago, I had an incident involving a curb. Results, humerus broken in 3 places, several stitches in my right eye, and a Velcro brace, which had to be worn for 13 weeks, 24 hours a day, and 18 months of physio. I got back on my trusty steed that came out of the incident unscathed. Hope you feel better
this
soon, John.
This is bike crash related, is it, John?
He attaches pictures.
Because you nearly died, didn't you?
Do you want to see the pictures?
Yeah, I'll see the pictures.
Pretty gory.
Okay. Ooh, sheesh. That isn't nice.
Also attaches a picture of his x-ray.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
See, you didn't have any of that, John.
I've just got a plaster in my hand.
A small plaster in your hand. You seem to have gone on about it a bit. Like a whole episode.
I'm better.
Was based around it.
I've got better.
Okay. You're going to put the wheel, though, could be a bit of merchandise.
I think you're turning it into a clock.
A clock, yeah.
The wall. A bent wheel.
That was a great letter from Gladys there. Thank you, Gladys. Do send us your letters in the new year on what's the email address, John?
It's nationalobsession@gmail.com.
Send us those letters. If you send us 3 letters, you become a FOF. That's as easy as it gets.
It's
and
so
we are
easy.
Up to 40-odd FOFs, including the golden FOF, Gary Johnson.
Does he have a number?
No.
It's just gold FOF,
gold FOF 1. There we are. That was it. This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
You are listening to the National Obsession, and that Christmas music that's about to kick in now can signify only one thing, that it's time to either flick on to 5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Put it on 2 times if you want. Or sit back and listen to it's that time everyone waits for, John.
It happens but once a year.
The excitement of Christmas.
A Christmas call.
Conveyed.
That objectivity. Rodney Jack and
a
the Beanstalk. And this, the fourth
and now,
edition. I've not actually written
some
it down.
Thought it was a trilogy, but no.
It's a quadrology? The Playmore Express.
The Playmore.
It's supposed to be the Polar.
I get that. I like the film. I like
the film. I realise it's not totally clear.
The Playmore Express with John Cadogan.
On Christmas Eve, many years ago, I lay quietly in my bed. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly. I was listening for a sound I'd long since given up hearing. John Bartlett ringing his bell with Torquay in the Football League. There's no Bartlett.
Bloody hell!
There's no Bartlett anymore, my friends insisted. He's either died or been banned. But I knew they were wrong. Late that night, I did hear the sounds, but not of ringing bells. From outside came the sounds of hissing steam and squeaking metal. I looked through my window and saw a Great Western train standing perfectly still in front of my house. No change there, I thought. The tracks had just probably fallen into the sea at Dawlish again. The train was wrapped in
niche.
The The train was wrapped in an apron of steam. Snowflakes fell lightly around it. A tracksuited figure in a cap stood at the open door of one of the cars. He took a large watchman's coat, then looked up at my window. It was Gary Johnson. I put on my slippers and robe, tiptoed downstairs and out of the door. All aboard.
That was cruel.
Johnson cried. I ran up to him. Well, are you coming? I don't know all the voices here.
You did.
Where? Why, to the Football League, of course. Yes. This is the Playmore Express.
Yes.
I took his outstretched hand and he pulled me aboard. The train was filled with other members of the Yellow Army. Paul Bastard, Dave Thomas, that bloke from the Travel Club, all in their pyjamas and nightgowns. We sang insulting songs about Exeter and ate lukewarm pasties as the lights and towns of the villages flickered in the distance and the Playmore Express raced on north. Soon there were no more lights. Sorry, music's running out. Soon there were no more lights to be seen and no people anywhere. Clearly, we'd reached King's Lynn. We travelled through cold, dark forests and climbed high mountains, but the Playmore Express never slowed down. The mountains turned into snow-covered plains. We crossed a barren desert of ice. Hartlepool, I thought. A long while later, twinkling lights appeared in the dark distance. They looked like the lights of a strange ocean liner. There it is. Barrow, the Football League, cried Gary Johnson. Barrow, a large town standing alone at the top of the world. At first, we saw no locals at all. They're gathering at the centre of the town, Gary told us. That is where the EFL chairman Rick Parry will welcome us and present the first gift of the Football League.
Don't do the voice.
Who receives the first gift, we all asked. He will choose one of the Yellow Army. Outside, we saw hundreds of weird little people, huge ears, crooked noses, diminutive and stunted. It was the Barrow locals. As our train drew close to the centre of the town, we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets of the Barrow fans. When the train could go no further, we stopped and Gary led us outside. In front of us stood Rick Parry's EFL sleigh, surrounded by the Barrow locals. The locals moved apart and Rick Parry appeared. The locals, they cheered wildly. He marched over to us and pointing to me said, "Let's have this fella right here." Paul Bastard was furious. Dave Thomas immediately called Netflix for the proposition for a new film. Rick Parry jumped into his EFL sleigh and Gary helped me up. I sat on Rick's knee and he asked, "Now, what gift would you like for the Football League?" I knew that I could have any gift I could imagine, but the thing I wanted most for the Football League was not surely inside Rick Parry's giant sack. What I wanted more than anything was to hear John Bartlett's bell ringing with Torquay in the Football League. When I told him, Rick Parry smiled. Then he gave me a hug and reached into his sack of presents where he pulled out John Bartlett's bell. He stood holding the bell high above him and called out, "The first gift of the Football League!" I put it in my pocket and rejoined the crowd. As soon as we were back inside the Playmore Express, the other fans asked to see the bell. Well, all apart from Paul Bastard, who was sulking and just opened up his Tupperware box for a bit of dinner. I reached into my pocket to show them the bell, but the only thing I felt was a hole. I had lost John Bartlett's bell. The train gave a sudden lurch and started moving. We were on our way home. It broke my heart to lose the bell. When the train reached my house, I sadly left the other members of the Yellow Army. I stood at my doorway and waved goodbye. Dave Thomas was doing a gleeful sort of dance, singing, "I'm in the money," and saying something about a meeting with the big cheeses at Netflix first thing in the morning. Gary Johnson yelled something from the moving train as it disappeared, but I couldn't hear him. "What?" I yelled at him. And he cupped his hands round his mouth. "Good frog, bad frog, okay," as he disappeared into the distance. On Christmas morning, I opened our presents. When it looked as if everything had been unwrapped, I found one last small box behind the tree. It had my name on it. Inside was Bartlett's bell. And there was a note. "Found this on the seat of my EFL sleigh. See you next season, Rick Parry." I shook the bell. It made the most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. My uncles Roger and Brian, who had come round for Christmas, looked confused. "Bloody hell, it's not working, it's broken!"
"Bloody hell!"
he said. "That's bloody disgrace!" When I'd shaken the bell, Roger and Brian had not heard a sound. And indeed, as the season wore on, it fell silent for more and more of the Yellow Army. But the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe in Gary Johnson's Yellow Army. What do we reckon?
Best one yet, John.
Really?
Oh, really good, John. I really enjoyed it. I mean, if anyone outside of the TQ1 area understands
it. I don't know John Bartlett is for starters, isn't
he? Yeah, a lot of Rick Parry in it. And but also John Bartlett's bell disappearing in a hole is not an image I wanted to have at Christmas, John.
Now, some people would bow out when they've done their best one ever, but I can guarantee you we'll next be back year. For Christmas Story 5 next year.
Wow. Well, brilliant, John. Brilliant,
thank
John.
You.
Happy Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry
and
Christmas.
All the Foffs.
And all the Foffs and all the listeners and everyone who listens to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Do, as a little Christmas present to us, leave us a 5-star review and leave some nice words on iTunes. That'd be lovely. And also tell one other person. That helps. And we'll retweet us on Twitter. Something like that. More the merrier. That'd be lovely. On the ice, you all.
On the ice.
Happy Christmas
Merry
and a
Christmas.
Happy New Year. We don't know when we'll be back. Probably in the New Year some point.
Maybe,
John,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
We'll work
anyway.
It out.
And we're still top of the league. On the ice.
On the ice.
Gary Johnson's Yellow Army. Bye!
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.